an epistle. We talked about this a little bit last week, but just to remind you, this book of the Bible has been used by God in the regeneration of Augustine, of Martin Luther, John Wesley. John Calvin said this about the book of Romans: when one gains a knowledge of this epistle, he has an entrance opened to him to all the most hidden treasures of Scripture. So John Calvin says when we have a knowledge of Romans, we have an entrance open to the most hidden treasures in Scripture. That really excites me. Martin Luther said the chief part of the New Testament, talking about Romans, he said it's the chief part of the New Testament and the very purest gospel. William Tyndale, every Christian man, I love this, every Christian man not only know it by rote and without the book. William Tyndale says we ought to memorize it. Every Christian ought to memorize the book of Romans. So last week we started into this epistle and we looked at the life of Paul, also known as Saul, named after King Saul, a majestic name, the name that actually means desired. And we looked at Saul becoming Paul, which means little or small. And we looked at the life of Saul as a God-hater, as a persecutor of the church. Saul's background, remember, as a Jew, a Roman citizen, but a Jew trained by Gamaliel, so a Pharisee trained by the best of rabbis. So he was perfectly equipped for the ministry that God would then call him to, as a Roman citizen that could travel throughout all of Roman Empire, as a Jew who had been trained and had a great understanding of the Old Testament. And then this God-hater that was persecuting the church and was on a journey to go to Damascus just so he could persecute more Christians. My life changed. Your life changed if you're born again. Saul saw Christ. And God changed him from a God-hater to a God-lover. And gave him this ministry of taking this gospel to the Gentiles. He was radically changed for Christ. He was reborn. He became, we looked at last week, a slave of Christ. He went from being a God hater, a Jesus hater, to a slave of Christ. Remember, a slave, because he was a slave, he devoted himself to Christ, to the disregard of his own interests. Paul lived a life that we're to imitate, in that he took on the interests of God. He was devoted to Christ's purposes in disregard to his own interests. I think that's really important for us to remember. And Paul says, imitate me. And what he's saying is, I urge you to be like me, to be a slave of Christ who disregards your own interests and live for the benefit of God. Boy, if I would do that. If I would be a sold-out slave, living completely for the benefit of God, disregarding my own interests, what might God do through me? What might God do through you? This week, we're going to finish our look at the Apostle Paul, slave of Christ. Apostle Paul, slave of Christ. Romans 1:1. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Last week we looked at Paul and we looked at slave. This week we're going to look at apostle and we're going to look at separated to the gospel of God. First of all, we saw that Paul called himself a slave of Christ. And next we see he's called to be an apostle. Paul identifies himself as a slave of Christ, called to be an apostle. Paul says he was called, and that word for called is kletos, kletos, sorry. Kletos, it means called, implying a relationship and or task. Invited. So the word kletos means, Paul says, I was called to a special relationship or a special task. This word, kletos, is an important word in all of our lives. It's an important word for us to understand. In verse 7 of Romans 1, we're going to see he says in his greeting to the church at Rome, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So to all the believers in Rome, called, kletos, called to be in a special relationship. To be in a special relationship with God. That's to be hagios, saints, set apart. Set apart for service to God and worship of God. So every Christian is called, kletos, into a special relationship with God. And that relationship is to be set apart to worship God and to serve God. That word kletos, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. So, because of God's good pleasure and because of God's purposes, some of us are called. Kletos, we're called to be in a special relationship, to love God. And how do we love God? We love God by obeying His commands. We're called into that special relationship. 1 Corinthians 1:2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, kletos, to be saints, called to be saints, with all who in every place call the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So in Rome, in Corinth, in Davenport, in Bettendorf, in Moline, in Preemption, we are called, kletos, into a special relationship. And the special relationship that every believer is called into is to be a saint. Hagias, to be set apart to serve and worship God. 1 Corinthians 1, 22-24. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. Which we still have, by the way. Then it was Jews and Greeks. Now we have people that want more signs to prove God is who He is. And some people want to seek after wisdom, and they want to try to figure out the world outside of God. Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, kletos, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God to those that God has called into this special relationship. Kletos. To everyone else, Christ is a stumbling block. To some of you in here today, Christ is a stumbling block. And foolish. The message of the Bible is foolish. There's no way the earth's not more than 6,000 years old. There's no way somebody died and resurrected. There is no way, and you get yourself into this stumbling block of Jesus Christ because you're seeking wisdom and you're not seeking that wisdom from God. But for those of us who are called, kletos, into a special relationship, Christ is not foolishness or a stumbling block. He is wisdom and power. Because we've been called. Kletos. We saw last week, Saul was called by Jesus Christ Himself into a special relationship. In Acts 9:15 it says, but the Lord said to him, talking to Ananias, remember Ananias was afraid to go see Saul when he was in Damascus, because Saul had been persecuting the church. And Ananias says, if I go to Saul, he's going to kill me or have me imprisoned. So Jesus said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Saul was a chosen vessel by God to bear his name to the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. Saul was called into a special relationship, to a special task for God. Paul, called by God Himself, by Jesus Christ himself. We see in his testimony to King Agrippa, Saul is giving his testimony to King Agrippa, and he's just talked about how he saw a light in the noonday. He's in the noonday on the road to Damascus, and the light was so bright, it was brighter than the noonday sun. And he was knocked to the ground. Saul says, I was knocked to the ground, and then Jesus spoke to him. Here's what Jesus said, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So, God called Saul, Paul, to a special relationship, a special task, a special relationship with him. Paul knew that he was called to a special task. It was pretty clear. He also knew that he was called by God, not by man. He was not appointed by man. Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Called by God himself. Paul was called by God himself to be an apostle. He was not a self-appointed apostle. He did not appoint himself to this special task or this special relationship. No man appointed him to a special task or a special relationship. God, Jesus Christ himself, called Paul to this special relationship. Down in Galatians 1:11 and 12, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself called Paul to be an apostle and then revealed to him the gospel that was to go be preached. This is important. It's important because one of the characteristics we're going to look at for an apostle is they needed to be called by Christ himself. And Paul was called by Christ himself to be an apostle. Paul was called an apostle. The Greek word, apostolos. Apostolos. It means a delegate or messenger, one sent forth with orders. Now, a delegate or a messenger, one sent forth with orders. That's what the word meant, apostolos. And they used it even of ships that were sent. But any messenger or delegate was sent with orders or a purpose. The word apostolos was used to describe them. Now, 1a specifically applied to the 12 apostles of Christ. In a broader sense, applied to other eminent Christian teachers. For instance, Barnabas, Timothy, and Silvanus. We're going to look at that more later. But this word apostolos is used 79 times in the New Testament. And most always it's used of the 12 and Paul. It's almost always used in describing the 12 and Paul. The 12 and Paul who were specifically called by Jesus himself to be his messenger with a special task and a special relationship. Galatians 1:15-17. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Paul here states that he was an apostle because he was going to go be with the other apostles in Jerusalem. He was just like the other apostles, called directly by Jesus himself. Let's look at the other apostles in Mark 3. Now, there was a multitude of people that were following Jesus. He went to try to be alone, and a multitude of people followed, and he healed, and then he wanted to withdraw from them. We see in Mark 3, starting in verse 13, and he, Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came. Jesus himself called a specific 12 men out of this multitude of people that he wanted. And he called to those 12 specifically, and they came. Verse 14, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out demons. So, he called 12, he a specific 12 that he called into a special relationship to be these 12 that were going to go out and preach, and that were going to heal and cast out demons. So he himself gave them power to heal and to cast out demons. He himself, Jesus, called these 12 to this special relationship. Then he names them Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, and they went into a house. So these 12 men were called directly by Jesus to a special task, which included preaching and healing and casting out demons. These were called apostles. Look in Matthew 10, verse 2. Now the name of the 12 apostles, apostolos, and then he goes on and names them. So these 12 were specifically called apostles. And again, most of the time in your New Testament, when you see the word apostle, it is speaking to the 12, Matthias, who replaced, we're going to get to that too, Judas, and Paul. So the 12 plus Paul. That is most of the time what we're seeing when we see the word apostle. Now, I'm belaboring this, but I want us to get it. Jesus' apostles were specially called to a task or a special relationship directly by him. Luke 9, verses 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Down to verse 10. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. So there's lots of confusion in the church world today. There's lots of confusion about this topic of apostles. Apostles, Jesus' apostles. That term that's specifically used for the 12 plus Paul, that's a special relationship. And the relationship that he, Jesus, directly called them to. There is no one being directly called by Jesus today to the office of apostle. So those that would say they're apostles, and you hear people in churchdom calling themselves the apostle whatever. They will say, I have an apostolic ministry. That usually means they can heal and cure and speak in tongues and do all those miracles too. Because they're taking on, they're self-proclaiming an apostolic or being an apostle of Jesus Christ. Even though the apostles we see in Scripture were directly called by Christ, and as we'll see in a minute, and they saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's the characteristics of an apostle of Jesus. But remember the word apostolos, it just means a messenger or sent one. So, look at Acts 1. Now remember, who wrote Acts? Luke. So Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke, says this at the beginning of the book of Acts. The former account I made, my Gospel of Acts, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Who were the apostles whom he had chosen? We already saw. That was the 12. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So the apostles not only were called directly by him, the apostles also saw his resurrected being.
saw Jesus Christ resurrected. And remember, Saul also saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he was also called directly by Jesus. So he fits the title of apostle. And in Scripture, Paul talks about this whole apostle thing, calls himself the least of apostles. There were those that were arguing, and he was talking about why he was qualified to be an apostle. So these apostles whom Jesus had chosen, the 12, they witnessed the resurrection and they were directly called by Jesus. Now, Judas, one of the 12, hung himself because he betrayed Jesus. So you have an apostolic ministry that was there for 12 people and now you only have 11. And so in the book of Acts, it talks about how Matthias replaced Judas. And by the way, we're going to keep looking, but what was the special purpose or the special relationship that Jesus called these apostles to? It was to establish the church. It was to go out and begin building Christ's church, to proclaim the gospel and to create and build the church. That was the relationship they were called to, the special relationship that apostles had. We're going to keep talking about this, but the church, the foundation of the church is built. There don't need to be any more apostles. We have the Word of God now. So we have the Word of God with which to stand as an authority. We don't have to have people with the power of God to heal and do miracles to verify and validate their message to build the early church. We're not in that place in church history. There was a specific thing the apostles were to do. Okay, so Acts 1:21. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So, an apostle needed to have been with Jesus in the flesh. He says, accompany us all the time, the Lord Jesus. So those original apostles, those original 12, were with Jesus in the flesh. And Matthias qualified because he had been with them. And he also witnessed the resurrected Christ. Okay, and they proposed two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. So there were two men that were put up for this position of apostle to replace Judas. And they met the qualifications. Here's how they met the second qualification, to be called directly by Jesus. Because Jesus wasn't there right now. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go his own place." So, we have this void, Jesus. We want to fill this void because you created a 12-person apostolic ministry. And we want to fill that spot. So, Jesus, we're going to bring two men that we know They were with you. They saw you. They learned from you. They were with us this entire time from John the Baptist until you were resurrected. So who, Jesus, would you have us to appoint? And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So this apostleship, it was a specific task. We just saw him reference to take part in this ministry and apostleship that Judas fell out of. So it's specific to those 12. Can we see that? This apostolic ministry, this apostleship, Jesus' apostles, was a specific ministry that had been given to them. They were to go out, this special task, and they were to go out and preach the gospel and build Christ's church. Build the foundation of his church. So, this task, the book of Acts, as you now read the book of Acts, or maybe you already know this, as you're reading it, you're reading just that. You're reading how the apostles went out and established the early church. They went out and completed that task that was given to them by Christ himself. Acts 2:42-43. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. The early church was built by the apostles' doctrine. Who? Specifically these 12. These 12 plus Paul. That's how the early church was built, on the doctrine, the teachings of these 12 plus Paul, which they had received directly from Christ. The 12 hung out with Christ the whole 3 years of his ministry. Okay, so they directly learned from Christ. He discipled them. And then Paul, by special revelation, received this gospel from Jesus himself. So, verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Those 12 plus 1, many signs and wonders. Christ's apostles were able to do signs and wonders because Jesus himself had given them the power to do it. Jesus is not here to be giving power for apostolic ministry these days, for the gifts of healing and the gifts of miracles. They're not needed to build the church. The foundation's already built. So the apostolic ministry stopped when these apostles died. There's no more apostolic ministry necessary. They went out and built the foundation of the church with the Gentiles and the kings, just like, and the children of Israel, just like they have been told to do. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation. So he's talking to new believers. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You're a believer, and you became a believer, and you are on that foundation that those 12 plus Paul went out and laid. That foundation, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself being that first stone that gave the apostles the power and the task of going out and building this church. So Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, and early believers, the early church, were built on the foundation that the apostles brought. The foundation, the doctrine of the apostles that they had received from Jesus himself. Because remember, they didn't have a New Testament. The bringers of the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament, were the very men that were going out and building the church. Calling sinners to repentance. Teaching the doctrines of Jesus to establish the church. Verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Really important to remember. We looked at this in men's Bible study, but it's really important to remember that the foundation, the church as we know it. Remember, when did the church age start? The church age started after Jesus ascended. We are right here in the middle of talking about the church age. There was no church age before. The church age, the church, Christ's church, was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the Old Testament and the New Testament prophets. But the prophets in the New Testament were simply the people that were proclaiming what the apostles' doctrine would support. So this book of Acts continues to give this historical accounting of the apostles' ministry, the one that Jesus had given to them. Acts 5, 12 through 16. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So part of these apostles' task, or part of the special relationship, was they could go out and do miracles to give credit or validate their message. And so people flocked to the apostles See, people flock to Benny Hinn right now, but nobody gets healed. Or, even he'd say he's not 100%. They were all healed, just like when Jesus did it, because they had special anointing. They had a special task or relationship of being Christ's apostle. Christ Himself's apostle. The messengers that He sent to build His church. Now, we also see in Scripture a few instances of this word, apostolos, used of others. Like in Acts 14:14, your bulletin says 4:14, it should say 14:14. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out. Paul is Paul that we know of, but Barnabas was not one of the 12. Barnabas had not been a witness to the resurrected Jesus, nor had he been called directly by Jesus. And yet here he's called apostolos, apostolos. We see another use of this word in 1 Thessalonians 1. The Apostle Paul starts his letter saying, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians. So we see that Paul is including Silvanus and Timothy in this letter that he's writing. So it's the three of them basically writing a letter. He's writing on their behalf. Then down in verse 2, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you is not in vain, but even after we, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. So Paul includes Timothy and Silvanus in this apostles. He calls them apostles. And yet, Timothy nor Silvanus were called directly by Jesus, nor had they witnessed the resurrected Christ. So remember, this word, apostolos, like other words, in Greek, it just means messenger. It just means messenger. So if I say, Kunta Kinte is a slave of whoever his master was, and I say, I am a slave of Christ, those are different kind of slaves. But it's the same word. The word, apostolos, means messenger or sent one. And actually, it's translated that way in other places. In Philippians 2:25, remember we looked at Timothy and Epaphroditus? He says, yet I consider it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger. That word messenger is actually apostolos. Apostolos, that one who ministered need. Your messenger, your apostolos, your apostle. Whose messenger? The church. The church at Ephesus. So, Epaphroditus was a messenger of the church, not a messenger of Jesus Christ Himself. There was not a direct relationship. So while Epaphroditus was a fellow worker, while Epaphroditus was a saint, Epaphroditus was not an apostle of Jesus. He was an apostle of the church, a messenger of the church. As were Silvanus, Barnabas, and Timothy. 2 Corinthians 8:23. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are apostolos of the churches, the glory of Christ. So who are they messenger of? The churches. So they're messenger of the churches. So in the few instances where we see this word apostolos used of men other than the 12 plus Paul, we know they were messengers of the church. Specifically appointed to a task, like Epaphroditus was. Epaphroditus was appointed the task of taking to Paul in Rome in prison the offering that they had taken. So that was his task. He was a messenger of the church.
But Epaphroditus didn't have the powers of healings or miracles. And Epaphroditus was not an apostle of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean he wasn't saved. He was a slave of Christ, definitionally. He was a saint. But he wasn't an apostle of Christ. The 12 and Paul were different. 1 Peter 1:1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. I cannot, if I stood up here and said, I'm the apostle Mike Reed. Nick said so. Or Benny Hinn said so. I couldn't say Christ said so. Because Christ is not going to directly appoint me or call me into that relationship. Jesus Christ isn't here to call me an apostle, to give me a specific task. Paul, 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And then Romans 1:1, we're in today. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. An apostle of Christ. An apostle of Jesus Christ. Remember this. They had to be witness to the resurrected Jesus, and they had to be called directly by Jesus. That's why the apostolic ministry ceased and miraculous gifts ceased with the perishing of these men. That's why you don't see those things later on in the New Testament. They're not spoken of anymore. The last person to meet the qualifications of seeing the resurrected Jesus was the Apostle Paul. He saw him on the road to Damascus. That was after his ascension. No one's ever seen Jesus since. And no one will see Jesus until he returns. So there can't be any more apostles. No such thing as modern-day apostles. Don't be confused. There are false apostles spoken of in Scripture. So we know the word apostolos doesn't mean a messenger of Christ because there's false apostles spoken of. 2 Corinthians 11:12 through 15. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. In other words, Paul says, there's others that want to be regarded as an apostle, just like we are, but they aren't. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So deceitful workers claiming to be sent directly by Christ. But they are just like their father, the devil. They're masquerading. The only apostles were the 12 plus Paul. And they all qualified because they saw the resurrected Jesus and they were called directly by Jesus into that special relationship. So you call them capital A apostles. Capital A because it's a specific title and name specific to the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Matthias. Any other kind of apostle like Barnabas, Silvanus, or Timothy were apostles of the church. Small A apostles, sent ones, messengers. In some sense, we're all apostles. Okay, and in some sense, we're all small of A apostles because we're told to go preach the gospel to all nations. We have a special relationship and we are His ambassadors, according to Scripture, and we are His messengers. So we are apostles in that we're sent ones. But not in the sense of a large A apostle that we all have the ability to heal or the ability to speak in tongues or we have a direct calling from Jesus Christ to build the foundation of the church because the foundation of the church is built and now we're just being built on top of that. And we have this, the Word, which is Jesus Himself, to build with. We don't need apostles with direct revelation from God because we have full revelation from God. I hope we're all following that. Okay, next Paul says he is separated. Separated. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God.
this concept of being separated, as we've talked about lots, Paul lived this out in spades. Paul lived this out in dramatic fashion. He was separated to the gospel of God. He was separated for that purpose. The Greek word for separated is aphoriso. Aphoriso, it means to appoint, set aside for a particular function. Set aside for a particular function. So Paul is saying, I was set aside, appointed for the particular function of the gospel of God, for spreading the gospel. And what I find so interesting is, this word, I think, was a very strategic word that Paul used. Because he used the word aphorizo. Aphorizo has the same root word that gives us the word pharisaios, or Pharisees. Okay, pharisaios, which is the word Pharisees comes from. Well, Pharisee was a separatist, from the word pharos, to distinguish. One of a sect who separated themselves from other Jews as affecting superior holiness. So the Pharisees were separate. They were set apart. They were a sect of special holy Jews. They were more holy than others. And Paul says, guess what I used to be? A Pharisee. And from that same root word, I'm going to tell you what I am now. I am separated to the gospel of God. I'm no longer separated to a false religion. I'm no longer separated to a self-righteousness. I am separated not to Pharisees, some man-made sect. I am separated to the gospel of God. Letting the Pharisees know that he was separated to the good news of God, not some self-righteous sect of men that were really whitewashed tombs and had dead man's bones inside of them. Paul was separated to the gospel. He was appointed to the function of spreading the good news among the Gentiles. Acts 13:2. So Paul went to Antioch and pastored the church of Antioch for a short time. Acts 13:2, as they, that's the prophets and teachers at Antioch, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Paul was then separated to go and take the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had been told on the road to Damascus. So now he was separated to go and spread this gospel, just like he had been told when Jesus first called him. Galatians 1:15, we looked at it before. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So Saul was separated from his mother's womb, and then in God's timing, he was called to a special task and separated and set aside and appointed to the task of preaching among the Gentiles. And I praise God that he was, because I'm a Gentile. God's plan is so good. Okay, what exactly was Paul separated to? The gospel of God. To the gospel of God. He said, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. We've looked at this lots, but the word for gospel is euangelion. Euangelion, it means good news. Or gospel. It's where the word evangelism comes from. Euangelion. Good news. Now, Paul used this word, euangelion, 71 times in his epistles and 15 times in this book of Romans. In his epistle to the Romans, 15 times he used this word, euangelion. This word had a very strategic meaning. Here, the Greek word euangelion, it was used in the emperor cult. So, Rome had emperors, right? And the emperors were thought to be gods. So, he's writing the epistle to the Romans. He's writing into a culture that was very used to hearing this word euangelion, because the word euangelion was used anytime there was a proclamation about an emperor. So, the first euangelion would be a new emperor has been born. So at the birth of someone who would become emperor, there was euangelion given. The next time, when he came of age, I don't know the age, but let's say 14. When that emperor came of age, more euangelion. Hey, this emperor has lived long enough, now he's old enough. And then the third euangelion, the third good news, would be they would come out and they would announce the emperor is ascending into that position. So the announcing of actually becoming emperor. But the word was euangelion. So these Romans, when they heard the word euangelion, what they thought was news about an emperor who was a god. So he uses this word to say, euangelion is of God. I am separated to the gospel of God, not some emperor. See, Caesar and Jesus they confront one another. We don't have that in these times, but in the times this was written, Jesus confronted Caesar because Caesar was a god and euangelion was associated with Caesar. And for Paul, he says, nah, I've been separated to the gospel, the euangelion of God, the true God, not some man. So Paul is separated to the gospel of God, the one true gospel. Very contentious to the Romans. What is the gospel of God? We talk about this lots. What is the euangelion that Paul was separated to? Mark 1, 1 through 3. The beginning of the euangelion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The gospel, the good news of God, would begin with the messenger proclaiming the coming Messiah. Who was that? John the Baptist. John the Baptist came preaching about the coming Messiah. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. John the Baptist was the beginning of the proclamation of the good news of God. He was a proclaiming. So just like these people who worked for the emperor would proclaim the emperor was born, the euangelion of a new emperor being born, or coming of age, or ascending to the throne. He was announcing that. The gospel of God started with John the Baptist announcing the coming Messiah, the King, the true Lord, the true emperor. That's where the euangelion starts, is with John the Baptist proclaiming that coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Paul was separated to the gospel of God, the good news of the King of Kings, the Emperor of all emperors. And he's distinguishing that good news from the good news these Romans were used to hearing. The good news, not of any earthly king, the good news of the kingdom of heaven. So, Matthew 9:35, then Jesus, what did he do? He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The euangelion, the gospel of the kingdom. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the scriptures, the plan of redemption for God's people, the solution to the dilemma of separation from God. He says, I'm it. I am that coming Messiah. I'm going to preach to you the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm it. I'm the good news. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 and 2, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Paul's saying there's only one gospel and I preached it to you. And that gospel that I preached to you is the one that you received. That's how you got saved. And that's how you stand firm, is in the one gospel that I preached. The message of the apostles that's now been given to us in the scriptures. This is the one true gospel. And Paul says, as long as you stand firm in that. But if you don't stand firm in that, you believed in vain. The gospels which saves and which we stand fast in is the gospel of the scriptures, which at that time was the gospel of the apostles. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The gospel of Christ, the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man. The wrath of God will be poured out on that sin. The solution, Jesus Christ, accessing that solution through repentance. The gospel. The gospel here. No other gospel. Paul was separated to the gospel that he was given by Jesus Christ. We must be separated to the gospel we have been given by God Himself. The Word became flesh, and this is the Word. This is the gospel we must be separated to. No other. No other gospel. This is what Paul says. Remember, the church at Corinth was having all kinds of problems. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Paul was afraid that the people would adhere to, would tolerate a different gospel. He was concerned that they would adhere to and tolerate a new gospel, something different than this. It's exactly what's happening today. Institution called churches and false preachers and false prophets stand up and they sell a different gospel. And people are buying it hook, line, and sinker. And it's not the gospel of the Scriptures. And it's exactly what was happening in Corinth. And it's exactly what Paul warned against. He said, there's one gospel I'm separated to. It's the one I've been given that I'm telling you. It's the one I wrote down, and now we have. One gospel. There's no gospel that calls for less surrender than complete surrender. There's no gospel that calls for knowingly tolerating sin. There's no gospel that calls for that. But that's the gospel that's being sold and bought. There are millions of people. There are thousands of people sitting in institutions called churches today that have been saved to the wrong gospel and therefore not saved at all. If you're saved, quotations, to any other gospel than this gospel, then you're not saved. And there's thousands in the Quad Cities, and there's millions throughout the world that are sitting in pews today believing they're right with God because they've been saved to a false gospel. So therefore, they're not saved at all. This is true now, and it was true then in Galatians. Someday I'm going to preach Galatians 1, and I can't wait to preach Galatians 1, 6 through 12. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Paul's writing to Galatians, the very first chapter, he says, I can't believe it! I can't believe that you're already turning to another gospel. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a slave of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The things I've written down, the things that I'm talking to you about, the Apostle Paul says, they came straight from Christ. And any other gospel is not a real gospel. How can you turn from the gospel? How can you say a better life now? How can you say that God loves everybody and all He wants is He's just begging you to be in a relationship with Him? Please accept Him. That's a false gospel. That's not the gospel. How quickly you've turned away from the gospel to another. There is one true gospel, and it mustn't be changed in any way, shape, or form. It mustn't not be softened.
Those who change the gospel are accursed. Joel Osteen is accursed. Rob Bell is accursed. They are preaching a false gospel. Let them be accursed. If anyone preaches a gospel other than the gospel that I've received, that I've given to you, let them be accursed. Paul was separated to the one true gospel. Just the one. Well, we have to be relevant to today's church. We have to today's culture. We have to change the message a little bit so it's relevant to people. That's a different gospel. Be accursed. One gospel that Paul was saved to, that Paul was called to be an apostle to, one true gospel. The gospel is not a better life now. The gospel is not God just really wants a relationship with you. He's up there begging you, please accept Him. The gospel is repent and turn from your sin and hate it like God hates it. The gospel is you're a sinner headed to hell and you need to turn from your sin. You need to hate your sin. You need to see how wretched and hopeless you are and beg for mercy from the one true God. That's the gospel. It's not, oh, is your life tough? Come forward, pray this prayer. Your life's going to get all better. That's not the gospel. The gospel isn't get baptized as a child and be Roman Catholic. That's not the gospel. The gospel isn't accept Jesus into your life. The gospel is not that. The gospel is you're a sinner, separated from a holy God, destined for an eternity separate from Him, and there is a solution. The good news is Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and died on a cross that you might live. And in order for you to access that solution, you need to repent and turn from your sin and hate it like God hates it. That's the gospel. And anything short of that, you are stuck in your sin and you are rebelling against God and you're hating God and you will get His wrath. And don't let anybody else tell you different because it's a lie. It's another gospel. And Paul says to the Galatian church, I cannot believe how quickly you've turned. Be accursed if you preach any other gospel. That goes for us, beloved. If we ever present a gospel that's different than the gospel of this book, different than the gospel of God, we will be accursed. Closing thought. Paul was one of the 14 men who were apostles of Jesus Christ. The Bible names three additional apostles, messengers of the early church. There have been no apostles since the original, as no one could meet the qualifications necessary. Paul was separated to the gospel of God, of which there is only one. Have you believed the gospel? Unto becoming a new creation, separated by and to that gospel? Have you been separated by the true gospel and separated to that gospel? Have you been separated by repenting and seeing your sin for what it is and seeing your separation and your helplessness outside of Christ? And separated to that gospel that Christ alone is the way to the Father. And the repentance is a change of mind and a change of heart that brings about a change of direction. And that you hate your sin and you would not dream of being in that sin. And when you do sin, you hate it and you repent of it and you mourn over it and you seek God's mercy. Is that the gospel you've been saved by and to? There aren't a lot of us left around here that haven't heard this, but some of you might be sitting here today that think you were saved to a different gospel. That you think what's been preached today is hard. There may be people listening to this on CD or online, and you're thinking, I wasn't saved that way, but I know I'm right with God. You're not. If you're saved to any other gospel but the gospel that Paul and the other apostles gave us, then you're not saved.
the gospel I'm not ashamed of. Because it is the power unto salvation, not a gospel. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Consider if you have been saved by the gospel and to that gospel. Because you can't be saved by the gospel and not be saved to that gospel. And everyone in here has been called into a special relationship with God. Called by God to be a saint. Some of us have been called to be pastors and teachers. All of us have been called to be ambassadors. That's a special relationship that you've been called into by definition. Is that true of you? Have you been called to the gospel? Have you been saved by the gospel and called to the gospel? Consider that. Be sanctified. Grow in holiness. Grow in our understanding of what apostleship is. Grow in our understanding of what our role is. Grow in our obedience to the call that's been put on our life. All to the glory of God. Holy God, perfect, matchless Father. Oh, you have given us, you have called us. Father, I am so humbled and thankful for your plan of redemption for my life that included your plan for the Apostle Paul to be an apostle along with the 12 others to build the foundation of the church on the truth until it was given that I, a Gentile, could hear the gospel. Father, there is one gospel, yours, your good news, euangelion, your good news that Paul and we are separated by and to. There's not more than one form of the good news. There's no way to change it or soften it, or we will be accursed. By your grace, we will stand firmly on your truth for your glory and your profit. Amen.